say, let's have all the fathers, stepfathers, spiritual dads all stand up this morning. Go ahead, stand up. Stand up. I want to pray for you. Stand up. Don't be shy at all. And if you're around these guys, and if you're further back, just stretch out your hands as we pray. Father, I thank you so much for the men here today that are fathers in some way, biological, spiritual dads, stepfathers, for all the fathers in this room and online today, we honor you. We're so thankful for you. Lord, I ask that you would bless them. Would you pour out your wisdom and your strength and your love and your compassion on every one of them? God, give them faith in you. Lord, give them courage in all that they do. I pray, Lord, that you would draw them close to you, the greatest Father of all. Pour out your favor and blessings on each one, Lord. We love you, Abba, our Father. And Lord God, I pray today that your living word and the power of your Holy Spirit would do for us what we can't do for ourselves. Would you build our faith to put our trust in you today? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give them a hand. This morning at our 9 o'clock meeting, I was just saying how blessed we are at Joy Church to have such incredible men and fathers. I believe 100% that this is what changes the world. Men who are willing to lead, men who are courageous, men who are providing for their families, men who are standing up and saying, we go to the best father of all. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I love you all. I appreciate you all so much. I am blessed to have an incredible dad myself and then be married to a guy that takes being a father so incredibly serious. Six kids. He is awesome, awesome, awesome. What an example. So I thank you. Just a couple announcements before we get started. If you have kids, third grade through 12th grade, and they want to go to camp and they're not signed up yet, let me know. Let me know, and we'll make sure that they get signed up. Also, today is the last day of our baby bottle campaign for CARE Women's Center. What an incredible ministry they are here in Concord, New Hampshire. We added up all our change that we've gotten so far, and it was over $500. That we get to present to them. If you haven't given yet and you want to, there's a baby bottle out in the foyer. You can still do that. And then just a reminder to put on your calendar our annual block party, August 10th. It's the only week of the year that we have church on Saturday instead of Sunday. And it will be over here in Drake Field. Next week, we're going to have some signups where you can volunteer to serve. But start inviting your friends and your family. We had over 200 people last year, and we're expecting double that. So it's going to be a great, fun day, bounce house, you know, face painting for the kids, music. We'll have our message outside. It'll be awesome. Awesome, awesome. I'm going to take a drink of water. So most of you know I'm a pastor. And still, what you might know is sometimes I find it difficult to put all of my trust in God. Can I be that honest with you today? I sort of said something like that similar last week when we were talking about faith and the scripture where the man said, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. Do any of you ever feel that way? You want to trust God, but sometimes you find it difficult to trust in him, especially in our actions. It's so much easier to say, trust in God, tell somebody else, or say, I trust in God, than it is to actually do it. You might feel like, I love God, I believe in God, but I still feel so uneasy about the future. When we look around, when you look around, there's a lot to feel uneasy about, isn't there? There's tension all over our country. And so often you might look around and ask yourself, like, what if ... right? And we start playing that what if game. What if so and so happens as life goes on? And it's really easy to start asking all those what if questions, especially with the status of the world right now. But we bring it down to a personal level and ask things like, oh God, like what if I lose my job with the economy the way it is? What if I get sick? Or what if someone I love gets sick? What if, you know, food and gas prices keep going up? How am I going to provide? It's easy to play that what if game. Some of you, it's what if I'm going to be single for the rest of my life? Or what if my financial situation, it never, ever gets better? And what if I have to work this job that I don't like for the rest of my life because it's providing for my family? It's complicated. And you know, all of you, I think, know how easy it is to get on that train of thought and ask all those what if, on and on and on. So I don't know about you specifically, but I want to trust God, but sometimes I just want to go to him and say, but God, it's difficult to trust you. A God that I can't see physically with my eyes, when there's a lot that I can see, right? I can see the political craziness everywhere. Some of you, when I look in your face, I can see the stress that you're under. I can see, you can see, when your bank account goes down. We can see when gas and food prices keep going up. I've been trying, I know personally, to find a way to cut our grocery bill. All year I've been trying, every month, and it just seems impossible. Unless, if maybe we were to start eating like Little Debbie's for dinner or something. Might not be a bad idea, right? I can see all the tension every time I turn on the news or I read anything. And I say, like, God, I want to trust in you. But it's hard when I don't really see you and I see all of these other things. And some of you might say, how can I trust in God when I did trust in God? And this goes back to last week, but he didn't do what I asked him to do. We talked about some reasons why God might not have answered our prayers last week. And you might say, I prayed, I had faith, I believed, and I checked my motives, and I looked at my relationships, and I know God could have, and he didn't. And maybe we determined last week it's because God has something else for us. And so I really, really want to trust God, but sometimes that's not an easy thing to do. So today, as we continue in this series, Curious Faith, our question, and we've been asking these hard questions, today we're asking, can I trust God? Can I trust God? And I'm going to tell you the answer right up front. I believe the answer is absolutely yes, you can. But we're going to need his word and the power of his spirit to help us. So we're going to look at an example from the Bible that I think is really powerful. You know, if we ever stop going to the Bible or talking about the Bible or encouraging you gently, to read your Bible, please run fast out the door and go to another church. We will always stand on the Word of God. This is where all of our messages stem from, is right here, the Word of God. So we're not going to stop doing that. So in Luke chapter 5, remember Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels in the New Testament. So Luke 5, we find a story, I think, that perfectly illustrates this struggle and also the reward of trusting God even when it doesn't seem to make sense. So in Luke 5, I'm going to come to two different prayers that I believe are going to help build our trust. So let me just give you some of the context and then we'll look at them. So the kind of, let's just call it like the story behind the story, is Jesus was at a lake, the Lake of Gennesaret, and he was teaching. It was kind of like a, you know, Bible study, or what we would call here life group session. We just finished our life group session for the spring, and another one will start in September, so I want to encourage you to join one. But our specific group did the Purpose Driven Life book, and we had a book and a video study that's written by Pastor Rick Warren. It was so good, so good. I recommend 100% of people, all of you, get a copy of that book. I have a couple in my office if you want one. Read it. Whether you're brand new to Christianity, whether you're a long-term Christian, or maybe you're just thinking about what does it mean to follow Jesus, read that book. And I told you before, I read it before I put my faith in Jesus, and it changed my life forever. So it's a great book. But back to Luke. So it was the end of a very frustrating day for some fishermen. And they had been out and they had been doing what they normally do, but they didn't have the success that they normally have. They didn't catch anything. And so they were out there and they were cleaning up their boats and they were putting away their nets. And Jesus, he walked up to one of the boats belonging to Simon Peter, and he said, "Hey there, would you take us out on the water?" And so sure enough, Simon took him out on the water, and Jesus, he gave a little lesson, a teaching. And here's what happened. Luke 5:4, it says, "When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into deep water.'" Everybody say deep water. Deep water. Sometimes we have to get out of the shallow and into the deep to learn what we need to learn. He said, "Put into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Say, "Let down the nets." Those of you that are watching online, participate with us. Make this yours. Type that in the chat. Let down the nets. He said, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." And Simon answered, and let me just stop here for a second before I tell you what Simon said, because to me, this is Simon doing the best he can to be polite. So think about this. He's got Jesus, right? The rabbi, the very important person who just taught a really great message, asking him, Simon, an experienced fisherman, to do something that makes zero sense. Right? Think about it. It makes no sense whatsoever. And so we watch, and as Simon, he tries to be polite, but I can guess he's thinking like, teacher, you teach. I'm a fisherman. I'll fish. Right? Like, you're a rabbi. You do the rabbi stuff. I'll do what I do. Who are you to tell me how to fish? And he's probably thinking, too, there's generations and generations and generations of fishermen in his family. And he's like, and you're getting on my boat, taking up my time, giving me your crazy advice. But he's polite. And Simon Peter says this. He says, "Master, we worked hard all day and all night, and we haven't caught anything. What you're asking me to do feels really, really, really ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense." And how many of you know that oftentimes what God asks you to do doesn't make any sense? Oftentimes God will invite us to put our trust in Him, and it can make us feel really, really stupid. Can you just imagine, go with me for a second, be my family and friends years ago when I said to them, just want you to know I'm quitting my job that I've been doing for 30 years and, you know, that I love, that I always said, oh, I love. And they why would you do that? Like, why would you do that? You're going to wreck all your retirement, Kathy. Well, God asked me to do it. Right? Just picture, right? A lot, and these are a lot of non-believers. Oh, Kathy, okay. Well, what's your plan? Like, how are you going to replace that salary and pay, you know, your bills? Well, he hasn't told me that part yet. Don't get me wrong, I am not advertising to anyone to go quit your job without another job. That's not what I'm saying, unless God speaks to you. And I had, you know, godly counsel and wisdom and lots of confirmations that this is what God was speaking to me and to Mike. But it felt crazy. Absolutely crazy. And then to bring it closer to home, a few weeks ago, I stood up here and I shared and I said, I felt like a couple weeks ago, God told me there was a testimony in this room. But no one had told me ahead of time that they had a testimony. And I didn't know for sure. And I didn't want to get up here and be like, God says there's a testimony in the room. And then you all just look at me with these blank faces and nobody has a testimony. So yes, your pastors, we deal with this too. And we're like, God, this doesn't make any sense. And we read in Scripture, or you might read in Scripture, or maybe you've heard it said, Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow because tomorrow will take care of itself. And we find it really easy to quote that and to tell people that. But then you just want to say, like, well, have you seen, Jesus, have you seen what's going on in our country or even what's going on in our family? Somebody's got to worry about it. Somebody's got to do something about it. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me right now. Don't worry about tomorrow. And we think, well, somebody better worry about tomorrow. We also read in Scripture, bless those who persecute you. And sure, it's easy to say that, but you might be thinking, well, you don't know the people I work with, right? And Scripture says, and I think it was Alan that quoted part of this, don't lean on your own understanding. Well, okay, Jesus, but if I don't lean on my understanding, sometimes my bills aren't going to get paid. What you're asking me to do, Lord, sometimes feels so unreasonable. My word is like stupid, like feels completely stupid. So I say, I want to trust in you. But God, you got to give me a little bit something more here because I can't see you and I can't always feel you. So let's break this down into a couple of what I think are powerful prayers that can help us build our trust in God. And the first one is, Lord, help me to obey you even when I don't understand. Lord, help me. Help me to obey you even when it doesn't make sense. And what I think is so powerful to me in this prayer, when it's actually lived out by Simon that we were talking about, by faith. Simon, by faith, did what Jesus asked him to do, and he let down his nets. Simon answered, "Hey, Master, Jesus, fishermen, we worked hard all night. We haven't caught anything." And then he says this, he says, "But because you say so, I'll let down the nets." Say that with me, because you say so. It doesn't make any sense to me, Jesus, but because you say so, Lord, help me to obey even when I don't understand. Because you're asking me to do it, and because of who you are, God, I'm choosing to put my trust in you. And this action, it leads us to the fact that we don't have to understand completely to obey. We don't have to understand completely to obey. We don't have to know the end of the story to turn the first page and to be obedient to the one who asked us to do this. A lot of times when we think of trusting God, I think we tend to think of the big things, right? Like, you know, God, you're going to ask me to obey and, you know, pick up and move halfway across the country. Or, you know, in my case, like, you know, to quit a job and take another. Or maybe, you know, as mom and dad, you're like, one of you is going to quit. God's going to ask you to quit and stay home and do homeschooling with your children. But it's the small things too. I can remember a time when I felt God prompting me to reach out to an older woman in our church who was new in her walk with Jesus. And it just didn't make sense. What I felt like God was asking me to do, it just didn't make sense. But I obeyed. And that small act of obedience, it led to this beautiful friendship between this woman and her husband and Mike and I, and we ended up being able to baptize them in their swimming pool at age 75 and 78. And let me tell you, they blessed us and our life group with incredible hospitality, and we helped them along their walk with Jesus. I remember this one day so clearly. I love thinking about this, but I remember sitting with this woman and she had her Bible open and she's like, "Kathy, it just doesn't make sense. I'm reading, I'm trying to do my Bible reading like you're saying, but it just doesn't make sense." And I said, "Oh, well, let me tell you about the Holy Spirit." And so she was all, you know, all ears, and I said, all you have to do is ask the Holy Spirit to fill you, and he's going to start making things so much clearer to you." And she's like, okay. So she asked, and, you know, of course, the Holy Spirit responds immediately. When we ask, we receive. So the next week, we get together, and we're sitting around the table, and I'm looking at her with her Bible open, and there's highlight all over the place. And it was the coolest thing because she's like, she didn't really understand. She said, "I don't know what happened this week, Kathy, but I don't, all these things, like, is like, this was like, it was just like coming into clear in my mind. It just made so much more sense." And I was just like, "Remember last week? Remember the Holy Spirit?" It's like, oh, yes. I've said this before, but I was always afraid. My biggest fear was that God was going to ask us to move to Africa, because Mike did quite a few mission trips there, and I would just think like, oh, please, every time he would go, "Please, Lord, don't let him come home and say we have to move. Don't let him come home and say we're going to move." And God never asked us to do that. But I never thought God would ask me to leave my career in the business world and become a pastor. And that's what he asked. That's what he asked. And that might be the case for you. It might be something big. But what I found is to really grow in our trust and our faith in God, it often happens by trusting him in the smallest ways. Sometimes it's the littlest, the smallest acts of obedience and trust that lead to the bigger results, the biggest blessings, the biggest miracles. Cindy shared her testimony this morning, and I just want to remind all of you that we have two boards up here, I Need a Miracle and a Brag Board. And Cindy's request and some others, I think, I Need a Miracle have been for Mackenzie for a long time. And so they get to move those to the Brag Board now because God answered those miracles. If you are believing and asking God for a miracle in your life, come up here anytime, after service, before service, during service, I don't care. If there's paper up there, you can write your request and hang it up on our miracle board, and we'll be praying right along with you. So the smallest act of obedience, but because you say so, I'll do this. Lord, help me obey when I don't understand. And some messages for me that I have preached have been like that, like, oh, okay, Lord, because you say so. I don't necessarily understand why you would ask me to do this. And or more often it's, Lord, that's a really hard one. That's a really hard one. They're not going to like what I have to say, God. A couple weeks ago, right, I preached on the reality of hell. Some of you, you had to skip last week because you were still digesting that one. I think we have a few people that are still home digesting. They said, I'm going to watch online and see what she's going to talk about this week. We don't have to understand completely to obey immediately. And you know, it's like, why did God prick my heart to reach out to, this is you saying, why is God pricking my heart to reach out to someone or to send an encouraging note? I don't really know that person all that well. I want to remind you too, speaking of that, we have note cards in our connection hub. And so if you ever are thinking about somebody that you usually sit next to or, you know, is in your life group and you want to send them a note, you can fill out a note, just put their name on the front. We'll address it and mail it to them for you. So you can do that. It's just a great way. And God asks us a lot of times to reach out to other people. We just need to obey. So how do we grow in that trust? How do we learn to trust in a God that we want to trust in, but we can't see? Sometimes we can't feel. Here's a little advice. And you need to take this only for this area of your life, okay? Not all areas. And some of you might remember, I taught on this a few years ago, and I use this term, and I'm going to use it again because I think it's very catchy. So when you want to start trusting God, what you need to do is get clingy. Clingy. Get clingy. If you're dating someone, don't get clingy. If you're married to someone, don't be clingy. It is not attractive at all. Don't be clingy. It's weird. Don't do it to somebody else. Don't be clingy. But in this scenario, with God, when it comes to God, we need to get clingy, and it's not weird at all. There's a great Bible verse. If you've been a Christian for a while, you probably have, you know, one coffee mug maybe that somebody's given you with a Bible verse on it. And last week I told you, well, you can thank Paul because he wrote, you know, at least 3/4 of the New Testament, but it could be this one. This is a popular one too. Proverbs, again, Alan quoted part of this. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. Probably it was Solomon who wrote that one. He wrote a lot of the Proverbs. So the word in there, acknowledge, it comes from a Hebrew word, yada, which means to know. In all your ways, know him. Know him. In all your ways, know him, and he'll make your paths straight. You know him on the mountaintops when everything is going great, and you know him in the valleys when things are hard. We know him in the good times. We know him, and we learn to trust him in the bad or hard times. How do we get to know him, though? How do we get to know him intimately? And the only way that you can get to know God is to be close to him. And the way to get close to him is to be clingy. Clingy, right? Cling to him. I personally couldn't have walked through some of the trials that have come my way if I didn't know God before the trial came. A few years ago, God spoke to me one of the clearest ways he's ever spoke to me. It wasn't audible, but I heard it so clear. He said, Kathy, you know me, and you trust me. And he reminded me that he would be with me always, no matter what came my way. And it came right before an incredibly difficult season. And I can tell you, it made all the difference in the world in my actions and my response to this trial. The word trust, the very beginning of this verse, trust in the Lord. How do we do that? How do we do that? There's another Hebrew word. It's translated as trust. It comes from the word bada, bada. But what it means is it means to cling to. And that's where get clingy comes from. Don't just be close in proximity, but hold on to. Like Kelly was holding on to that money that Alan first gave her. Hold on and don't let go. And here's the key, though. In order to hold on to God, we have to let go of whatever else we're previously clinging to. In order to trust in him, you lean not on your own understanding. Let me just say, like, that's hard. It's almost like not fair, I feel like, to tell me, Kathy, don't lean on something or someone other than myself, because I am wired to lean on my own understanding. And some people would say, oh, like that, you know, it's a strength, you know, I can figure this out on my own. And I used to feel that way. And I still struggle with this at times. Like, it's like we're taught sometimes to be proud of our own strength. We can do this on our own. Sometimes it makes us happy. I'm a strong woman, right? I can do this. I can figure it out. I can take care of myself. I don't need anyone. But let me tell you, when you get to the place where you actually let go of your own understanding, you let go of your own plans and your own desires, your own will, even your strategy, your discomfort, or your place of comfort, and then you cling to the rock, the one who will never fail you. You cling to the faithfulness and the goodness of the only one who is really good. Then anything else that brought you the illusion of security before, it fades away in the presence and the strength and the goodness and the power and the grace of God. We all need to get clingy. So look to your right or your left and tell them, get clingy. Just want to make sure you're still awake. Type it in the chat if you're online. Put, I'm a clinger, or I'm going to get clingy. That's what we need to do. It's time for us to cling to the promises of God. Don't let go. Don't let go. Cling to the promise of God. We say, God, I thank you that I can cast my cares upon you because you faithfully care for me. God, I'm clinging to your truth that you will provide all of my needs according to your glorious riches in Christ Jesus. God, I thank you and praise you that you are working in all things to bring about good to those who love you and who are called according to your purpose. God, I cling to your truth that you will never leave me. You will never forsake me. God, that when I draw near to you, your word says that you will always draw near to me. Thank you, Lord, that you are close to the brokenhearted. God, you save those who are crushed in spirit. God, you are my refuge. You are my strength. You are my help in times of trouble. In order to cling to the goodness of God, we have to release the things that we were clinging to before. Money, security, ourself, another person, our children. Lord, Lord, help me to trust you, to cling to you, even when I don't understand. Because I trust you, Lord, I'll let down the net. I don't know what the outcome is going to be. Simon, he had no clue what was going to happen. No clue of the outcome. And this is the good news, guys. Remember this. The good news is the outcome is God's responsibility, not ours. Obedience. Obedience is our responsibility. Lord, help me to trust you even when I do not understand. And I can promise you that God will prompt you. If you've not had that happen before, you will find out probably after today. In some way, he is going to invite you to trust him. And I believe what you're going to discover is that big miracles often follow simple acts of obedience. We see it. We see this in our story. Jesus says, hey, put down the nets. Let down the nets for a catch. And Simon says, okay, we'll trust you. And scripture says this, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they called in all their buddies, all the other boats to come and help, and they filled the other boats so full that the boats began to sink. Can you imagine? Imagine, Lord, help me to obey you even when it doesn't make sense, even when I don't understand. And then we come to this prayer, this second prayer that says, Lord, help me surrender what I can't control. I love this. I love this. Simon, he obeys. He lets down the nets. And he's surprised. He's surprised. They catch so many fish, the nets, they can't even contain them. And suddenly he realizes, oh my gosh, Jesus is not just a rabbi, he's the Holy One. And Simon, he falls down. And he says, oh, get away from me, Rabbi. I'm a sinful person. I'm not even worthy to be in your presence. And this is what Jesus did. You can just imagine his love. Jesus says to Simon, hey, Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you're going to fish for people. From now on, what you've done your whole life, I'm going to use those same skills that you have, but I'm going to give you even a higher calling. So what happens? They pulled their boats up on shore. Watch this. They pulled their boats up on shore, and what did? They left everything, and they followed Jesus. They left everything. Well, what does everything include? It includes their nets, right? Their nets, the thing that was providing them all their security, what represented their future. Think about the magnitude of what that was for them. Leaving everything. When it comes to your nets, whatever that is that provides that safety, your understanding, your hope, your bucket list, your if only this, and God, here's what I need. When it comes to our nets, the first thing that we do is we let them down when Jesus invites us to, and then at some point we lay them down. I surrender this to you completely. Lord, I let go of my plans. I'm trusting you. And I think all of us would say that's not easy. It's not easy. It's hard. There's nothing easy about doing this. It can be one of the biggest steps of faith ever. When you say, I'm not just letting down that which makes me feel secure, but I'm actually laying it down. We all have so many things in our life. We're like, God, you can ... right? Like you can heal so and so in my life. You can, God, I know you can allow me to get pregnant and give me a child. You can, God, you can take the desire for alcohol away. Lord, you can bring unity to this conflict. You can restore my relationship with my children, God. You can save my job. God, you can put an end to this craziness in our world right now. And yet, God, you haven't. You haven't. And I don't understand why. And so we let go of our understanding. And we choose to cling to him. We choose to trust in his goodness and his plans and his purposes that are so much higher than we have the ability to understand. And in his presence, clinging to him, somehow he comforts us with a peace that is beyond our human ability to even understand. And we can say honestly and truthfully, as I cling to him, even though my heart is hurting, my hope is not shaken, though my heart aches, I still trust in him. I don't know who this is for today, but you may need to not just let down the nets, but lay down the nets in your life. So we don't always have the power to control, but we always, always have the power to surrender to the one who is in control. I want to show you one more scripture. Psalm 27, the words of David when he said this. And I hope you'll feel this and you'll find yourself in the middle of this verse. David said this. He said, some trust in chariots. Some trust in horses. For us, that would be some trust in whoever holds office. But I thank God that our hope is not in just who's in office, but our hope is in who sits on the throne. Some put their hope in bank accounts or in a medical report. And David said it this way, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we as the people of God, we trust in the name of our Lord, our God. While it's easy to trust in just what you see, we're going to trust our God. And who's ever coming up for the worship team, if they would come. If you find yourself today like me, and you want to trust, where you're like, it's so difficult to trust in a God you can't see. If you feel like you're on the edge, like you feel like sometimes you're just ready to give up, as we close today, I'm going to challenge you to take a step of faith this week. To identify one area in your life where you struggle to trust God, whatever that is, and to pray those two prayers we talked about. Lord, help me to obey you even when I don't understand, and Lord, help me to surrender what I cannot control. Trust that God will meet you in your obedience and in your surrender, just as he did with Simon Peter. We have the scripture on the back wall there. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? And I want you to just, as we close, think for just a moment and answer this question with me. When did the miracle with Simon take place? When was it that the disciples who had given up hope see this miraculous provision of the goodness of God and the miracle of the overflowing catch of fish? And the answer is, and I think this is so important, it came at the end of a very, very frustrating day. It happened when they had given up hope. And so if you find yourself in that place, you're about to give up, about to surrender this dream of God answering your prayer, you're finding yourself not trusting God. And it could be in your marriage, a marriage you're fighting for, but your spouse doesn't even seem to care. You feel like you even might not be able to hang on for a moment longer. It could be the dream of getting out of debt, or of God healing one of your children, or your relationship with your children. It could be God hearing the cries of your heart and providing someone for you to share life and his goodness with. Remember, when did that miracle take place? It happened at the end of an incredibly frustrating day. And I think that day, that end of that frustrating day, for many of us, it's a frustrating season. Let me just remind you, it's not over. It's not over. Our God is still good. Our God is still here. He's still in control. He has more for you. He's still with you. He's faithful, and he hears the cries of your heart. Do not grow weary and doing good, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. Whatever it is that you've been clinging to, have the courage, have the faith to let go of your own plans, your own dreams even, and cling to the everlasting, everlasting, say that with me, everlasting, everlasting goodness and grace of our God. While some trust in what they see, we put our faith and our trust in the goodness of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray by the power of your Holy Spirit and your word that you would do a work in the hearts of your people, your church. Some of us today, we have a burden. God, we've got a pain. There's an overwhelming sense of disappointment. Maybe it's in our marriage. Maybe it's another relationship or a health issue. There might be a fear that we just can't seem to get rid of. An addiction that we've tried in our own strength and we can't break. God, it feels like the end of the day and all hope is fading for some of us. But Lord, help us to put our hope and our trust in you. God, help us to cling to you and to let go of whatever it is we've been holding on to and hold on to you and not let go. And we thank you, Lord, that when we draw near to you, you draw near to us. And what we might find is that we're not really just holding on to you, Lord, but God, we thank you that you are holding on to us. We put our trust in you. God, we continue to believe. And God, by faith today, right now, I believe for every hurt represented in this room and online, God, for every sickness, for every crushing disappointment, I lift all of this up before you, Lord, and I thank you that there is a name above all names, above every name, and his name is Jesus. We put our trust and our hope in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you're believing, if you're trusting in God, I'm going to ask our prayer team to come up. You're trusting God for something, or you're wanting to start trusting God for something. If you want to let down your nets, laying down your nets, surrendering, I want you to come up today and let somebody walk alongside you. Mike's going to pray quietly here. I'm going to close, but I want you to feel free to come up and receive prayer. Everyone needs prayer. If you've got something private and personal that you just want to share with one person, our conference room is open. You can go in there. Let's begin to trust God with everything. With everything. We love you. We love you. There's nothing you can do about it. 100% we believe that the very best is yet to come. And I wish all the fathers a very happy, happy Father's Day today. Make sure when you leave, you take some donuts home with you. We don't want any leftover. Have an awesome Sunday.